Okay, how are we doing today, brothers and sisters? Last week was amazing, wasn't it? We met, if you weren't here last week, man, you missed a great time. We had an outdoor service followed by a chili contest, a chili cook-off and a contest. And I couldn't have been more excited. We had a couple of singles win. Third place, I think Chrissy from St. Charles came in third place. And then was Mendoza second place? That guy kind of wins everything. Your dad beat me in fantasy football 1 year. He cheats too, a lot. So. Anyway, in first place, really excited that Brittany Ampas. Single mom of 3 kids, and this story we were talking about at our staff meeting because it's got a lot of little parts to it. But apparently, at about 5:30 a.m. Sunday morning, she just wanted to do something, and so she got her kids up, and she went to the store and got stuff for her chili. She brought it, said, "I don't really want to enter the contest. I'm just bringing something to contribute," and ended up winning the whole thing. So, yeah. So, anyway, for all of you that spent a lot of time on yours, I feel bad for you. But I prepped mine all week. She got up at 5:30, whipped it together, brought it up, won. Amen. I'm so excited for you. She got a cash prize of $1 million. So that's really exciting. Or less. Amen. So anyway, we're going to dive into the message. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer, and we'll just dive right into things. God, we thank you so much for this morning. So great to have our family together. Thank you, God, for the last week's fall festival and really the lives it touched. The one and other time we were able to enjoy with together outdoors. What a gorgeous day. Kids on the bouncy houses, the trunk or trees. Just really a great celebration. It's just a little kiss on the lips from you, God. A little slice of heaven is what I like to say. So thank you for moments like that. But God, thank you for moments like this as well. We do, we lift you up. We praise you, God. Everything we do, we really want it to be about you. God, remove us. God, help us to just be in total utterance, awe of you at all times and lifting you up in every way. God, please be with the message this morning, God. And God, direct my words and the things I'll say, God, may be just what you need said or want said, and may it prick my heart, our hearts, and lead us closer to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our theme this year is Light of the World, and we're doing a 40-week series, which is about to wrap up here in a few weeks on Light of the World, and we'll doing some other things in the year. But anyway, as this series will go, this week, the title or the theme for this week is Serving the Vulnerable, Lending to Jesus. Okay? Serving the vulnerable, lending to Jesus. Okay? So anyway, for us to be the light of the world, we want to be those people. Well, we want to serve the vulnerable. And there are many vulnerable among us. Okay? In the world we live in, many people that are vulnerable. And so last week we talked a little bit about giving. This week is somewhat a little bit about giving as well. But it's about serving the vulnerable and lending to the Lord. Amen? Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to look at a number of verses here today. So I'm glad Jeff is on, got my AV this morning. Didn't Jeff do a great offering talk this morning, by the way? I do want you to know Jeff is a genius. He is actually in the Math Hall of Fame over here at Rittner High School. And he is a bit of a genius when it comes to math. And so he actually went and got an engineering degree and went into the ministry and did a little engineering. I said, "Do you like it?" He goes, "I hate this, and I don't want to do this." So, what do you want to do? He said he wants to teach and help make math easy for young people. And so that's why he's doing what he's doing, and he is very good at it. Amen. So, anyway, but Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. And it says this. This is our theme verse for the day. Yeah. That's okay. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Let's read that together. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Amen. Amen. You know, generosity is really, it's a sacred thing. And when we serve the vulnerable, we are touching the heart of God himself. And like this verse here says, those who are kind to the poor lend to the Lord. Here's a question for you. What does God do with loans? What does God do with a loan? You know what I mean? You loan God something. What would he do with it? Okay? It's a good point. You can multiply it. But that's a deep thought, right? To think about, man, caring for the needy, the poor, the vulnerable. It is loaning to God. You know, in the ancient world, okay, including Israel, the poor, they were not only economically disadvantaged, but they were socially powerless. You think about the widows, orphans, foreigners, sick, elderly. There's no government aid. There was no universal health care. There was no way to take care of a widow. You know, it really would end up being up to community. You're completely dependent on the goodwill of those around you. God knew this oh so well. And so God set up in the Torah, believe it or not, he structured life to protect the vulnerable. Let's look at a few verses here. In Leviticus chapter 19, we'll look at a few verses here, and then I'm going to make three quick points, and I'll sit down here. But in Leviticus 19, Jeff, verses 9 and 10, let's turn over there. This is what God tells the Israelites. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 5, verses 7 through 11. Let's turn it. It's just good for us to kind of think about this. You know, if you really want to collect, you know, all the grapes, you not only you go, you pick up the grapes, but then you go a second time, okay? You really go a third time as well to make sure you got everything. So don't even go over it again. Don't walk back. It says, leave that for the foreigner. Leave that for those that are disadvantaged. You shall have no other gods before me, God says. Okay? You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything. Is this 15, 7 through 11? Above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 11. Okay. We're good. All right. You go to the next one. Okay, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and friendly and freely, rather, lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of canceling debt, is near. So that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. And then, Jeff, let's go over to Exodus 22, 25 through 27. But listen, God says, do not be tight-fisted toward the poor. Don't be stingy toward the poor. Be generous toward the poor, because if you're not that way, they will call to me, I will hear them, and you will be guilty of sin. Don't be tight-fisted. Lend to them. But here's a kicker. I love this. He says, and the seventh year, the year of canceling debt, well, that's coming up. I mean, you'd imagine, right? Imagine being in a community of people. Well, God commands you, well, you need to lend to people. And you got to go, well, can I lend to them in the first year and collect in year three? No, lend to them anytime, but I'm lending to them in year six. And there's only 9 months left before we got to cancel debts. You know what I mean? No, lend to them. And in the seventh year, cancel all debts. A quick story about that. So when I moved here back in 1997, my wife and I, we were given responsibility for the singles ministry. And there were a few of you in that ministry at the time. And so in that ministry was Ken, Karen, Ken Sholey, and now Karen. You've been Karen for so long, I don't even know what your maiden name was. But Karen, awesome sister. And Kurt Selsley was in that ministry as well. And so I got together with this brother for a D time, a single brother. And he was just so, like, down on himself and feeling bad. But turns out he started to kind of open up to me. He says, you know, I'm in debt. I said, well, gosh, man, how much debt are you in? Blah, blah, blah. And we're talking about his debt. He goes, well, I'm in debt to some brothers. I said, oh, you're in debt to a couple of brothers. So we started talking a little bit more, and he started to open up how difficult it was for him to even come to church anymore, and how he didn't want to see these brothers, and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I don't know how he got into all this debt. His brother, I think, you know, we're good-hearted. In those days, you're like, bro, you need a dollar, you need $5. But this wasn't a dollar or $5. You know, I'm not going to say how much it was, but it was a little bit more. It was more money than, well, I would have been able to pay back and certainly been able to loan him. And it had taken place over 10, 12 years. And so I was like, well. So in those days, I just went to the couple of brothers. And I said, brothers, separately. One of those brothers was Ken. I said, Ken, this brother owes you money. And I think he can't pay you. Ken goes, you know what? He said, he doesn't owe me anymore. Ken, cancel this debt. Okay. Now, I want to talk about this other brother because it's Kurt Selsley. They're laughing for a reason. Kurt had a ledger. If you know Kurt, Kurt's an organized dude. Kurt had a ledger of the date and how much and where they were when he gave him the money. I'm like, wow, Kurt, that's impressive. You're really organized. And Kurt was an uber organized guy. You went to Kurt's house and you got a glass of water. He gave you a glass of water. If you set it down, he was washing it before it hit the cup, before it hit the, you know, the, I'm like, Kurt, he was that dude. And I sat down with Kurt and I said, Kurt, I know this is probably going to be hard for you. Kurt goes, brother, not a problem. He was totally willing to forgive this guy's debt. I thought, wow, what great men of God. Of course, these guys all had more money than me at the time. But it's an illustration of forgiving debt. And so I commend Kurt Selzer, who's no longer with us, but Ken Sholey as well. Great men of God. Amen. Exodus 22:25, further illustrating God's heart toward those. It says, if you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not treat it like a business deal. Charge no interest. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it by sunset. I like that. Because that cloak is the only covering your neighbor has. What else can they sleep in? When they cry out to me, I will hear. for I am compassionate. God even says, you know, when you loan to the poor, don't charge interest. He says, I'm a compassionate God. It says, and if you take something that's collateral for the loan, we'll return it by sunset. Don't be the kind of person, I'm going to hold on to this until I get my money back, you know? God goes, you know what? Give them their clothes. I mean, what else are they going to sleep in? See, God in the Word, He associates Himself with the vulnerable. God associates with the poor. And it's so deep, His association with the needy, that He says, when you lend to them, you are lending to me. No ancient religion does such a thing. No other God ever did such a thing to say, lending to the poor is lending to me. And this is a powerful theme in all of God's Word. You know, Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friends of the poor person deserts them. Wealth always attracts friends, but even the friend, the closest person to the poor, well, they will desert them in time, because what can you do for me if you're poor? The poor shun, Proverbs 19:7. Even by their relatives, how much more do their friends avoid them? If you're poor, your friends, they will avoid you. When you get in your most vulnerable state, it's when people, they probably sometimes don't know what to do, don't know what to say, but they will avoid you. They're just, it's too awkward for them. It's too difficult. It's too challenging. You found yourself fallen on hard times, the most vulnerable of circumstances. It could be whatever, and your friends are just kind of like, I don't really know what to do with you. I can't. So they just sort of, they'll avoid you. This is what happens, right, to the vulnerable. I'm sure you felt this. Anyone ever feel this way themselves? Okay, no vulnerable among you? Well, amen. If you've never been vulnerable, amen. Keep living, amen. That's sort of what happens. And so this is for good reason that God says that we need to serve the vulnerable. Amen? 3 points. Point number one, God identifies personally with the vulnerable. God identifies with the vulnerable. This verse doesn't just call the poor God's concern. It says helping them is lending to Him. And we see this, God says this in Matthew 25, verse 40. He says, whatever you did for one of the least of these, He says, you did for me, right? Whatever you did for the least, you did for me. Whatever you do for those that are the most vulnerable, the least, the people that are looked down on the most, whatever you did for them, you did for me. You're doing it for me. And what a great way for us to think about serving people. We're serving the Lord. We're never serving just people. Amen. It's an act of worship in every way of serving those that are vulnerable. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God says, those who don't have a father, I'm their father. I'm the father to those, the orphans. I'm with those that are least, that are looked down on the most. I will protect them. I am there for them. And I know sometimes we go, well, they don't deserve it. They put themselves in that situation. I mean, if they just would just get off, I'm the same way. If you just get a job and get your act together. And yet God says, I'm there for those people, to most vulnerable people. You know, I was really convicted. Yolanda Super and Hadrian, they're not here. But we were doing a No Hunger holiday out here. It was when we were doing it up top before we got really organized. And we were getting some, we had some potatoes. And you know, the line was kind of slow and whatever. And so some potatoes, I don't know, one of the potatoes was falling out. So I got one of these potatoes and I just kind of started, we started tossing it back and forth. So then I started throwing it like a football a little bit. And people were running patterns and we were catching this tomato and, you know, it would hit the ground or whatever. But it had fallen out anyway. And so, you know, I was just like, oh, you know, so we're goofing around. We're sort of laughing. And then Yolanda comes to Is that better? I think I accidentally turned the mute on. Sorry about that. Okay, so let's pray and let's start the sermon over. No. What story am I telling over? Okay, so the potato. So anyway, I'm throwing this potato around. We're goofing around with it. I don't know who was catching it, but we're having a good time, laughing, whatever. And Yolanda walks up. She goes, stop. Stop throwing that. People, don't let people see you throwing the food around them. I said, well, Yolanda, so we're just, you know. And I said to Yolanda, I said, well, Yolanda, these people who are driving up here, are they really among the most disadvantaged? And she looked at me and go, Vince, you don't know what these people are going through. And I'm going, okay, well, that hurt a little bit, you know. She was right, though. You never know what people are going through. You don't know. I don't know if that car is about to be repossessed. Who knows what's going on in people's lives? My point is I can be a little arrogant sometimes. Oh, come on. Come on. Look, you drove up here. You know what I mean? Are you really vulnerable? Man, we're all so, so, so vulnerable. And that vulnerability is not always financially. It is emotionally. It's spiritually. It's a lot of things, right? But we are vulnerable, amen? But God, he identifies personally with the vulnerable. If we neglect the vulnerable, if we neglect the poor, we are neglecting God. Because he said, whatever you've done for the least of them, and whatever the least might be, you've done for me, amen? Point number two. Serving the vulnerable requires proximity. You've got to get close to them. As tough as it might sound, but you've got to get close to the vulnerable. You've got to get close to even know who is vulnerable. Amen. But you've got to get, it requires proximity. You cannot serve the vulnerable from a distance. Oh, you can throw some money at it, of course, but you've got to get close. You've got to get right up there. And we may be a little uncomfortable with this scene sometimes, especially if it's our kids. Like, no, don't. But it is, we've got to be willing to get in there. The whole story of the Good Samaritan, right? What happens in that story? The first two people, they say they go around. Because there's a vulnerable and a needy and someone that's in bad shape there. You kind of, I don't want to be unclean. So they go around them, cross over to the other side so they don't have to deal with it. So they don't have to look at it. And we may have some modern examples of that, right? You pulled up to that light. You got two lanes you can get in. The one with the person, you get in the other one. and you stay a little farther back. In case they want to come, they have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not really going to get you like back a little bit, you know? Because I don't want to look in the eyes of that. And even when you pull up and you look, you're kind of like, I don't want to look over. Making eye contact stuff. Don't want to look at that. That's too, it's too vulnerable. It's too rough. It's too difficult. Are you with me? Anybody ever do that? Yeah. It's a whole different story when you pull up next to them. Roll your window down, whether you got a dime or not. Look over in the eye and says, what's your name? And you can just ask the St. Louis question. Where'd you go to high school? You're guaranteed to have a nice conversation. You're guaranteed to get a smile and to start a conversation. But it's too difficult to look at that. But to serve the vulnerable. And sometimes, honestly, whether you have a dollar or not, rolling that window down and going, what's your name? My name's Vince. Pound it. Because you know when you put that dollar out, they're trained not to touch your hand. They will do everything they can to grab that dollar because they're not going to touch your hand. Because they know, when they know what that's going to do to you, you'll never give again, right? But if you pound it, you'll be like, whoa, somebody treated me like a human? See, that could be serving the vulnerable. I have not been treated like a human all day. People come up here, they toss a bag of chips out at me, you know what I mean? They'll even drop a bag of grocery off, which is good. But boy, no one really looks at me in the eye. No one asks my name. Ask me what high school I went to. And man, if you were to remember the mascot, you City Lions? Yeah, I'm a lion. They'd be like, you know what? Because Benita's a lion. They were Indians? Those? I thought they changed their mascot? Yeah. Okay. Because Indian, I get it. I know. Yeah. But we've got to be those people we serve. The vulnerable, and we get close to them, amen. I know it's tough, but compassion is rooted in seeing and closeness. Closing the distance, next slide, is important. And sometimes it looks a little bit like this, next slide. And sometimes it may be just this, making time for one another to sit and really find out, like, what's really going on. But you're never going to know. You're never going to see people rightly. You're never going to really know people well. And frankly, be known unless you make time for one another. But you've got to close that distance. And you know, you're not closing the distance with a phone call. And you're not closing the distance online. You're closing the distance by being there. Amen. That face-to-face, that one-anotherness, that is how we do it. Amen. Proverbs 14:31, whoever presses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We've got to get close enough so that we can be kind. Amen. So who are the vulnerable and the overlooked in your sphere of influence? Who is it that we need to slow down and actually see as people, as humans, see as vulnerable and needy? Because we all are, right? Aren't we all in this thing together? We're all constantly like, am I good enough? Am I gonna make it? Am I okay? We're all somewhat trying to hide our weaknesses. I think I shared this with you, you know, right? I read this book. It's a book on dignity. People are doing two things when you hire them for a job. Did I share this with you? They're doing the job you hired them to do, and the other job is covering up their weakness. You know what I mean? The job you hired them, the other job is like, I can do this. I'm stupid. I have no mistakes. I'm flawless. I got this, right? Aren't we all up against that constantly? This feeling of, I got it? Maybe you get a little bit older, you get about 80, you don't really care anymore, but for the most part, right? We're all kind of working toward this, do I have what it takes, amen? I will wrap it up here, verse three, point number three. And serving the vulnerable is not a charity, it's kingdom investment, amen? Kingdom investment. God says he will reward us for what we have done. We are investing in the kingdom of God. The Hebrew verb here used for reward, it means full payment with blessing. God will fully repay you with blessing. And that may not come here. This is not prosperity gospel. This is reality that the greatest blessing we will get, we will walk streets paved with gold. That's an incredible blessing. I will tell you that the Mendozas, they feel so blessed that both of their boys be baptized into Christ. What a blessing, amen? Man, we got to invite the poor. We've got to love the poor. We got to extend ourselves to the vulnerable, okay? And the Bible says you will be repaid. You will be repaid, and maybe it's not now. Maybe it's just at the resurrection, but it will be a glorious, glorious, glorious blessing. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, do not grow weary in doing good. Sow to the Spirit. Do good to all, especially to those who love the Lord and who believe. Man, when you want a deeper intimacy with God, take care of those that are vulnerable. You want to have a truly joyful life or be spiritually fulfilled, take care of the vulnerable, okay? You want to make sure that your place in eternity is secured, love those who are the most needy among you. It's like planting a tree, amen? Like, I may never sit under that tree, but God sees it, God remembers it, and God honors it. Amen? Every person that we take care of, that we love, that's vulnerable, God sees it, and he knows it. So, who's someone? Maybe you judged, but now you realize, well, they're vulnerable. They're in a vulnerable state right now, and I need to serve them. And what's one act of kindness maybe that you could take this week or you could do this week to move closer in proximity to someone that's in need? And even thinking about how can our church, and maybe more specifically your small groups, how can we become known as a community that sees and serves those that are on the margins, those that are the most vulnerable in our community, amen? We need to see them, serve them, and in many cases, sacrifice for them. Let's pray. God, we thank you for a time to just kind of reflect on your heart. God, to be reminded, maybe this is not new for most of us, but just to be reminded that you are always, you say, close to the brokenhearted. You're close to those that are most needy, those that are most vulnerable, God. That's why you're close to the brokenhearted. Those that are in pain, those that are suffering, Father, those that are on the margins, those that are struggling, those that are poor, Father, those that are falling on hard times, God, whether they place themselves there or have just been placed there by circumstances, God. Father, it doesn't really matter how they got there, God. We are the people, Father, with our maybe little acts of love and kindness, Father. Maybe we can't do big things like change political systems, God, but we can certainly show kindness and show love, Father, to people that we come across every day. And there are so many vulnerable people, God, around us, God. In many ways, every one of us in this room is. But God, there are always those that are more vulnerable than us, those that are feeling or sensing maybe they're more on the margins. God, help us to be light for those people. To extend ourselves, God, to extend beyond ourselves, God, to reach, to have your heart, to be like you, to show your compassion, to realize, Father, that taking care of the vulnerable is at your heart, and we want to be near your heart. We love you. Thank you for taking this personal. And Jesus, thank you for being the best example for all of us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for one closing song.